Hey, hey, people of Earth, it's time to enter the Spoilerverse via our secret portal at the exclusive Arctic Club in beautiful downtown Seattle with our hosts, John and Kenrick. Welcome to Spoiler Country.
Hey, if you're listening to our show for the first time and you're on one of the social medias that we're on, like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, any of those kinds of things, you should always check us out on Spoilerverse.com. But if you want to keep up with our latest episodes, you should bring out your smartphone, get into your favorite podcatcher, find Spoiler Country, and hit subscribe. Then you'll get all our new stuff.
And if you want to reach out to us, you can do that in two ways. You can call us, leave us a voicemail at 707-656-2080. Again, 707-656-2080. Or you can shoot us an email at spoilercountry@gmail.com. All right, everybody, welcome back. This is Top 18. Kendrick and Melissa talking again. It's part two. If you haven't heard part one, go check out this morning. Part two is just as good. You get a whole lot more deep dive into the writing of Melissa and thoughts of Kendrick and so much fun stuff that they do. But I'm not going to waste your time. You already heard me talk about this morning. But here is Kendrick and Melissa on Top 18 in the Nerdverse.
Oh God. Yeah. No, I mean, I hope that I can just, you know, I just want to be able to keep writing, you know, forever and to make enough income to where I can do that just right. Actually, and not have to, you know, not have to get, you know, another job, just focus on writing. Cause then I can really put more into it and I can produce more if I'm not focused, you know, on going into a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. I love my job. I love the people that I work with. Mm-hmm. You know, they treat me really well. They really do. And it's afforded me a lot of opportunities that I wouldn't have otherwise, you know, buying a house because of that job, you know?
That's cool.
So it's hard to sit here and go, oh, I really just want to get another job. It's not that I want another job. It's just that I love this so much more, you know?
Yep.
So it's hard to go. It's more fun to be creative on your own stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because you can make your own hours. You can, you know, set your own boundaries and your own goals rather than having to, you know, report to someone. I think that was the hardest part of being in the hospitality industry is, you know, I'm a big family person. We're Italian. So during the holidays, I would have to work and it was just devastating because my family would be, you know, here at the house, you know, eating and drinking, having a good old time. And I'm, you know, working until 10 o'clock at night. And so that was
missing out on things.
That was really hard. Yeah. Missing out. Exactly. And, you know, when I was younger, I didn't care as much because, you know, you're out, you're partying with your friends and stuff like that. But, now that I'm, it's crazy. Like now that I'm older and, you know, I'm still young, obviously, but I'm older. It's just more important to me to like be around my family and not miss out on that. Like, I just don't think with that.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just saying, I don't think any job is worth, you know, like losing a lot of time with your family.
It's weird because I start thinking about times when I was a kid and you remember like some of the things that stick with you sometimes is the fights. You know, oh, this, that, or when you're mad about something.
Yeah.
But more often than not, the things that come through in the memories is the times that we're laughing, joking, doing something that my mom and dad made us do that none of us want to do, like getting in the car and driving down to Newport, right? From Bremerton, Washington, down to Newport Beach, California, you know?
Oh, and wow. That's a long drive. Yeah.
Yeah. Why can't we just take the plane and you know, not understanding money or anything like that. But some of those car rides are like my most cherished memories. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we're all just stuck together and we're all, you know, making fun and having fun and doing things. And it was just like, it's kind of funny. And now it's like, I've lost a sister, so I don't want to lose time with my other siblings. So it's like, I really just want to be able to hang out and do things with them more than, you know, like when I was a teenager, I wanted to go hang out with my friends. And now it's like, why did I do that?
Yeah. Now it's like the opposite. Now my sister and I are 4 years apart. So now it's really like we're close in age, but when we were teenagers, it was like the little annoying sister that would always try to like embarrass me in front of my friends and stuff like that. Were you?
Yeah. I'm 4 years younger, four and a half, almost 5 years younger than my brother.
So you're the younger one. Yeah.
I'm the youngest of four. And
oh, wow.
So, you know, I definitely got the rocks thrown at me. Go home, Kenrick.
Well, and this is really going to date both of us, but you know, you remember when we actually had home rotary phones and landlines. And so I would be on the phone, you know, with one of my friends, and my sister would get on the other phone and start yelling into it, like, get off the phone. And it was just, I'd be like, come on, go away, you know.
Or how about you're on the phone with your special someone, and then your mom picks up. It's like, I'm on the phone. Yeah, so silent.
Exactly.
Oh God, it drove me nuts. Like, or they're on the, like, you're talking, they pick up the phone and they listen. They're like, they're just sitting there. It's like, I know you're on the phone. Why are you listening?
I can hear you breathing. Totally. Oh, and then we got the dial-up internet. Then you couldn't be on the phone if someone was on AOL. So that was always, I'd be like, I'd be on AOL and someone would pick up the phone and all of a sudden my connection would go haywire and you just start yelling like, get off the phone. I'm on the computer.
Right. Were you on chat rooms? Remember chat rooms?
Yes, I remember chat rooms. Oh my God. I don't remember being on them very much because I thought they were kind of weird and creepy. But
they are weird and creepy. Now I think back, I'm like, why was I on some of those chat rooms? They're so stupid. Yeah. You know?
So dumb. Yeah. I was mostly downloading music off of like LimeWire.
LimeWire and Napster.
Napster, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Same. That was the worst. My sister, my oldest sister, worked at Microsoft all through the 90s. And I remember like in 96, she was part of the ADSL program, or she was part of a different thing, but they were doing a test, like a employee test, like a internal test of this system. And so she brought this modem home, hooked it up, and we had, you know, blazing fast internet. We had like, we had blazing fast internet, you know, for like, like when everybody else was doing dial up, it was like, boom, boom. But we're just going wherever we wanted to. It felt like it was ridiculous. It was awesome.
Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah. It was, I know it's so funny now because it was so slow and there was literally like really nothing to do on the internet back then.
No.
You know, it was like you said, chat rooms and then, you know, doing the music stuff.
Music or, for guys, it was porn.
Yeah.
Like all the porn.
Yeah. I know. Exactly.
And I remember like, oh my God, she's so hot and clicking on her picture and she's topless. But it would take like five minutes for the stupid
to load
to come down.
Yeah. Or then if you were like, I remember seeing this like in the movies, you know, they would make fun of it, you know, like where there'd be like a kid and like the screen would like freeze or you click on something accidentally thinking it was like an ad, but it was actually like super not that. And you're just like, oh my God, you like can't get it off your screen. You're afraid like someone's going to come in and think you're looking at it.
Yeah. I just, what cracks me up, well, it doesn't actually, you know, what's funny with when you talk about porn and the internet, do you know all the security stuff that we have and the way things happen? The major porn sites almost drive all of that.
Really? Because
their whole thing is credit card security and virus protection. The major ones, like the porn hubs of the world and stuff.
Yeah.
They're one of the driving.
So like you're saying they're.
And like video, so like being able to see video that way and stream it. I don't want to give off false numbers, but a lot of the streaming technology that we have came from the development from porn sites.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, because
I mean, I guess it makes sense.
Yeah,
totally makes sense.
Yeah, because they were doing streaming, you know, 10 years before freaking Netflix came around and did streaming.
Right. Totally.
You know what I mean? Before all these big guys Hulu's and all them, the porn industry was already doing it.
They like paved the way.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. I think like Google and YouTube are the only sites that are bigger than some porn sites.
Yeah.
Which is
Google's, nuts. I mean, just insane. I can't believe how much Google, the fact that Google has become a verb, you know what I mean? We say we're going to Google something regardless of what search engine we use.
Right.
You know,
it's kind of
interesting. And
you go to
whoever.
I'm going to Google it.
Yeah. Yeah. I go, oh, you better Google that. And they say it in movies and shows and stuff all the time.
I say it all the time. I say it. Did you Google it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But that's like huge. I mean, that's kind of like, you know, when you have those brand names of things that become actual verbs or whatever, like tissue, but we say Kleenex, even though there's Kleenex is just one Xerox brand.
Xerox that, even though.
Yeah, exactly.
It's weird. It's totally
Q-tips,
weird.
Q-tips, you know, we don't say cotton swabs. We say I need a Q-tip.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's a good one. I need a Q-tip. Yep.
Yeah.
A Coke?
Right.
You have a Coke?
Yep.
What? No.
Yeah.
We have Pepsi. When really, you want a cola. Do you have a cola?
Yeah. It always cracks me up in the movies when they show like someone going into a bar and they always just say, let me get a beer. And I'm always like, what kind of beer? Like, I mean, you make up a name. If you're not trying to, you know, do product placement for whatever reason for contract, then make up a fake beer name. Right. Like we do it in books all the time.
Right. Right. Yeah. Give me a beer. And the guy just goes and gets him something.
Yeah. He just gets him something. I'm like, do you know how many types of beer there are in the world? It's hundreds, thousands of
beer we sell. That's what every time.
Yeah.
You want a beer? I'm getting you the one that's $25 a glass. That's what you're getting.
Yeah, exactly. You're getting the Stella Private Reserve, whatever, the Crystal Goblet. With
bars. And I have a funny, well, I have this story that I don't know if it's funny. You decide. The first time I went to Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. And it's for work. And I get off the plane and it's at night. It's like 6 o'clock at night. And I go down to Michigan Avenue. Have you been to Chicago?
I have not, no.
Okay. Chicago's amazing. Go in the summer. Go in the summertime. It's.
Yeah, my dad was married briefly to someone who was from Chicago. So he went there a couple of times with my sister.
Yeah.
I've seen lots of pictures, but yeah, I just never could go with them.
Oh, you need to go. It's pretty cool in the summertime. Just don't go to the south side. That's where that's where most of the violence happens.
Okay. But
I got off the plane, right? I go to my hotel, which is at the end of Michigan Avenue near the lake. Oh. I was at the Marriott residence and I walk up the street and I'm like, man, I'm hungry, you know? And I find this just a little bar. Right. It was pretty, it's kind of touristy, you know what I mean? But it's just a normal bar. Mm-hmm. And I walk in and I sit down. And the one thing with Chicago and Illinois as in general is the people are super friendly. Like Seattle is known for this thing called the Seattle Freeze, where people who have moved from other locations and come to Seattle, they have a hard time making friends because Seattle is very clicky. Oh, Yeah. It's very clicky. Especially the residents that have been here their whole life, they have their group of friends and it's hard to, it's unusual in Seattle for, it happens. So anybody listening, don't kill me, but you know, this is true. Most neighborhoods don't do like neighborhood barbecues or it's weird if you go and you know all your neighbors, you know,
okay.
People live in the same neighborhood for 20 years and they don't really know their neighbor. They know their name. They have to deal with them, but they're not friendly.
That makes sense because yeah, when I go visit my friend there, she lives in one of those little smaller, you know, suburbs in Seattle.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's not super friendly with her neighbors, but her and her girlfriend have been there for, gosh, I want to say 5 or 6 years now. And they do have now a really, really good group of friends in Seattle. But yeah, I don't think it was right away. I don't think
It's
had like a group.
It's an actual phenomenon. People can Google it. It's called the Seattle Freeze. And you'll be like, oh, it's odd.
Okay.
You go to Chicago. Everybody's overtly friendly, right?
That's cool.
And so I'm in the bar and the guy goes, hey, where are you from? He goes, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I just flew in. He's like, oh, here for business travel, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, oh, I'm from Seattle. He goes, oh, Seattle, known for a lot of beer. And I'm like, yeah, dude, you can't throw a rock without hitting a microbrewery here. I mean, it's just true. And they're
everywhere.
All
everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, well, you know, Illinois is getting really well known for their beer. And I was like, okay. I mean, right on. I'm not a big beer connoisseur by any stretch. So it's like, this is the weirdest conversation to have with me anyways. You know what I mean? I like beer.
Yeah.
I'm learning to like more light beer and lagers because I don't want to, if I drink an IPA, it just fills me up too much. But
They're heavy.
Yeah. They're heavy. So, but he's like, oh no, da 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 da. And then proceeds to tell me all the beers they have on tap that are from Illinois, like Green Line and some other ones. I can't remember all of them.
All right.
And he goes, this one is interesting because it comes in from Italy, right? So it's not a local beer, but it comes from Italy. And it pairs really, they thought of it as pairing with food. I was like, oh, that's cool. He's like, yeah, what kind of pizza do you like? I'm like, oh, you know, just... He's like, you spicy, non-spicy? Are you a meat eater? I'm like, spicy meat. Yeah. He's like, okay. He orders me a pizza, gives me a beer that is specifically should go with spicy type food and with the with that palate and pays for the whole meal and beer for me.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And then gives
That's
me like
so crazy.
A flight of different styles of all the different beers that they have that they offer there. And I was just like, part of me was like, man, I'm, it's just, is he hitting
that's insane.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe, you never know.
But he was super nice, and you won't get, I don't think you'd get that. You might get that in Seattle if you meet the right person. But it was just,
yeah, so, I mean, I've never had like frosty treatment by anybody, you know, in Seattle. I think some people are definitely, they're a little more reserved. They're not as chatty. You know, California, everybody's super chatty here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, especially in the hospitality industry, like it's just really, California's great. I mean, it's such a big state, you know, it's so different, like from South, you know, Southern California to Northern California. It's totally night and day as far as just.
Are you in Northern California?
I'm in Northern California. Okay. Yeah. So like I'm about two hours away from San Francisco.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So I actually prefer Northern California just as far as like the climate and the super laid back. Everyone is really chill, as we like to say here, you know, and it's beautiful. We go up to Lake Tahoe a lot, or, you know, we did prior to this year, and the trees are just, you know, just air, everything's cleaner. It smells better. I mean, don't get me wrong. I do like Southern California too, but it's a lot more stressful in Southern California. The traffic is really bad. The smog is really bad. It's, yeah. Oh my gosh. Super image conscious. And the heat, you know, in the summertime is just, it's just dry. Like, you know, they've got the Santa Ana winds and it's just different. It can be fun. It's because I have friends that live there. So, you know, I probably go once every couple of years. I know that's not that often, but I'd much prefer like the mountains.
SDCC in 2017. And then again in 2018. Mm. And that was the last time I went to San Diego.
That's cool.
2018. But I really love, I love Southern California. Like my dad grew up in Newport. So we'd go there almost winter for Christmas, you know, and then he got a job down there for like 6 months, but he hated it. So we came back up here.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I think it's a fun place to visit. Like you were saying, like Newport's beautiful.
Yeah. And I mean, last time I was in Newport was in 1990. So it's a lot different now.
That was probably the last time I was there too, to be honest. My dad's ex-wife worked for a hotel chain. So she would get like these comp nights, you know, where you could take, you know, basically stay in a hotel for free for a few nights.
Is that how you got into the hospitality business?
What's that?
Is that how you got into the hospitality business?
Yeah, my parents, both of them have been in it for their whole lives. Yeah, my dad was, he's been a manager, he's been a bartender, you know, waiter, cook. My mom too, she did event coordinating. And actually my mom's got some great stories about when she was an event coordinator, she actually did the lead singer to Papa Roach's wedding and one of the members of Korn, she did that wedding too. Nice. I grew up in a restaurant. I mean, I would go do homework, you know, at a table in a restaurant when I would get out of school and wait for my parents to get off work.
Oh, that's crazy.
So yeah, it's like in our blood here.
Yeah. Yeah. Did your sister?
But that was the last time I went to Newport. My sister too. Yeah. We dragged her in too.
When I thought I'd get out, they dragged me back in.
Yeah, exactly.
Or did you guys do small ones too? Or
yeah, a little bit of both. I mean, I started out like waitressing in local fine dining restaurants. Yeah, fine dining's huge difference. Fine dining is definitely, I prefer. Yeah. I mean, when you have just like a different clientele of people.
Yeah.
A lot of times when you work in some of those like chain type places, you know, like a TGI Fridays or whatever, you just don't get any respect at all when you're working and the food's like not really good to begin with. Yeah. Everything's your fault. And a lot of, just like a lot of chaos, you know, but
15% really, $20 is not 15% on 300.
No, exactly. Yeah. Or, you know, you're lucky if you, you know, got 5% sometimes.
What's a good, so I struggle with tipping, right?
Yeah.
Because sometimes my sister was a waiter, waitress, whatever, and she made great tips, and she was at an IHOP, right?
Basically. Oh, wow.
And she made great tips, but she was amazing. You know what I mean? There was, you know, and it's a small town, everybody knows each other. So they knew if they went there, Kathy was going to treat them really, really well. Hmm. But at the same time, it's hard when you're sitting there, you see a bill for $100 or whatever it is. And you're in my head, I calculate, okay, I had this, this, and this. I could make this at home for this much. And then I'm paying over because I'm paying for the experience and I'm paying for a professional chef to do all this stuff.
Right.
I almost rather like the end bill doesn't bother me as much as I'm having to add more to it. I would much rather that I don't even know the tips added in, just put the tip in.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
But just charge more so you can pay your people more. I'd rather have that.
Yeah.
Than going, I have $100 on me. Oh, I want to get this. No, I got to think about this other thing too. Or I feel like a dick.
That's an interesting way to look at it. And I think they did that in Europe for a long time because a lot of Europeans didn't know that they had to tip us when they would come over here because over there it was already included in their bill. Yeah. And so that's why they got kind of a reputation for being cheap or whatever, but they just didn't really know that's what they were supposed to do.
It's like a, what do you call it? Disrespectful to tip. How weird.
Yeah. In some areas. Yeah. I know. It's bizarre. Yeah. When I went to, years ago, I was in my mid-20s, I went to the Bahamas and I stayed at one of those all-inclusive resorts.
Yeah.
And it was the strangest thing because you weren't supposed to ever pull out your wallet at all. You've literally paid for everything in advance. Yeah. And that includes gratuities. But as someone that worked in the restaurant business, it was so difficult for me to like not leave a tip or just to like walk up. Like you would sit at your table, you'd eat your food. And then when you were done, you would just get up and leave. There was no bill because you've prepaid. Yeah. And so it was just the weirdest thing. Like I felt like I was, you know, what do they call it? Like dine and dash or whatever. Here I'm, you know, just get up and leave without paying. It was so weird. It's such a weird concept, but you know, that it works because then the servers are getting, you know, a higher wage. Same with like country clubs are like that too. Yeah. The members don't usually pay because it gets like billed to their member account.
Right. And they just pay a monthly thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's totally different. How would you rather be though? If you were still waitressing, would you rather be paid a higher wage or was the tips good enough where you're like, no, I don't want that W-2 form? I mean, I guess that's, if the IRS is listening, that's not what I mean. All right.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
You pay all your taxes. But what I'm saying is though, I mean, do you think you'd make more including the tips or do you think it'd be better if they just said, we're going to take the tips out, but we're going to charge another 20-30% on top of what we charge on the menu items?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I mean, first of all, I do have to say that the minimum wage federally, especially federally, needs to be raised definitely to $15 an hour. Yeah. It's just ridiculous. No, nobody can survive on $11 an hour.
Dude, Arizona is even worse, right? For waitresses. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's like $2.
And New Mexico, too.
$2-$3 an hour.
It's like...
Or at least it used to.
Yeah, no, it's really bad. So I definitely think that needs to happen. But yeah, I think the tips are something that, you know, you live off of, or it's, especially with the cash tips, you get that, you know, that night. So if you need to go to the store because you need some milk, you don't have to wait 2 weeks for your paycheck. You know, you've got 30, 40, 50 bucks, depends on where you're working too. And that's another thing is when I was thinking about fine dining versus, you know, some of these like lower, like chain type of places.
Yeah.
You work twice as hard at like, say like a TGI Fridays for like just to even try to reach what you can make working at fine dining.
Right.
Fine dining is a lot of knowledge. You know, you have to know wine, you have to know food, you have to be knowledgeable about what you're serving. But just as far as the physical work goes, you know, you have your section, you've got a different clientele of people coming in, people that are used to going out and know what to expect, and they tend to tip more. The menu items are priced higher, so the tips are going to be higher, you know? And so it's just, not that it's not hard work, it is, but I feel like when you're working at like a chain type of a place, you know, where there's like 150 menu items, you know, cheeseburgers and milkshakes and this and that, I feel like you work so hard to like barely make $50, $100, you know what I mean? So I would definitely prefer fine dining if I was going to be doing that again, for sure.
There's a huge difference. Like, I don't mind going to Applebee's, you know, and getting something. Right. I don't expect a lot from the waitress or the waiter. The wait staff, I guess is the proper pronoun to use nowadays.
Yeah.
Well, I want to be respectful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whether my internal beliefs are what it is, doesn't matter. I want to be respectful. And if people don't want to be called a attendant or a stewardess or
actress, yeah,
or you know, it's just an actor. Hey, you know what? I respect that. Mm-hmm. But my expectations are wildly different when I go to Applebee's. I don't freak out on things. I'll tell them, hey, this was cold or this was wrong, or you know what I mean? Just fix it.
Yeah.
It's not gonna affect your tip with me unless you're weirdo about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then it affects the tip because it's like, oh my God, you just made this way more difficult than it needed to be. Just fix it. I'm good.
Yeah.
But there's a restaurant in Bellevue called Ascend. It's amazing. Mm. Amazing.
Sounds fancy.
Amazing.
Yeah. And
when you go and you sit down, you don't get one person waiting on you. You get a team of people, whether it's just you or two people. You know what I mean? Somebody will come up and they'll have two or three helpers, and they'll do the menu with you, and they'll explain everything while the other ones are getting everything else ready. It is incredible. And then the desserts. One of the desserts I always get there is the magic mushroom, and it's literally comes in like a fishbowl. Inside the fishbowl is just like a hand carved log of chocolate with this hand carved mushroom thing on top. It looks like you're eating a s'more village. It is unreal.
I'm definitely gonna have to eat there.
It's a work of art. That's the only way to put it. It's a work of art. And they have they have duck foie gras as an appetizer.
Oh, that's my favorite. So I love foie gras, and they've banned it in California again.
Did they really?
Second time now. Yep. They keep doing it because of, I get it. Like people that are vegan or animal rights, things like that. But I mean,
I'm sorry. I'm
eating I love it.
The bone meal. I'm having it all. Dang it.
Yes. Yes. The bone marrow, the foie gras. Yes. Give it to me.
It's so good. I'm sorry. I'll apologize.
You know what's really good is a seared foie gras on top of filet mignon is amazing.
Yes, go to Ascend in Bellevue. I mean, bring your pocketbook.
Okay. It's
going to be expensive. You know,
when I go out to dinner, I don't go out all the time. So when I do, I want it to be really nice like that. And I plan on spending $200 to $300 sometimes. I went to Nobu in New York and spent $400 years ago. It was such an experience, you're saying, like you're paying for, this whole team of people to serve you, and all of this time and energy has gone into making every single menu item.
I think for what they're doing, when you think about what they're doing, the experience that they're affording, if it's done right, you know what I mean? Because there's some places that just miss the mark. Like you go in and the staff doesn't know what they're doing, or if they do, they don't explain things right, or the chef who's ever cooking whatever you're getting burns it or doesn't, comes back different. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that kind of bug you when you're in a fine dining, because if you're spending $300-$400 on the meal, and then you expect it to be worth that.
Oh yeah.
And it's funny though, when you get it done and it's right, like Ascend does it right. I've been there 3 times now and they've done it right every time.
Wow.
When you get it right, the experience is so, you think about it years later, especially if you don't go.
Yeah.
Especially if you're somebody that doesn't go all the time, And to me, it's like, these are people affording you a glimpse into how somebody who makes an amazing amount of money lives day to day. You know what I mean? Like you feel royalty when you're able to eat that way every once in a while. I think it makes it special. I'm the same. I love
it. It does. I do too. Yeah. I love it. Just being there. It just puts you in a great mood. You're almost like floating, for the whole night. You're getting bottles of wine and the lighting is cool. The decor is always cool in restaurants like that. Yep. And like you said, they treat you like your royalty because they know how much you're spending. Yep. And so they don't care, who you are, if you're famous or not famous or whatever. If you're sitting down and ordering, then, that's their tip. That's,
you should be 100% their attention.
Yeah. And so I've had really good experiences with places like that. That's what I look forward to.
We had another experience that was the exact opposite. And this place is always amazing, right? So a coworker's coming down. I'm like, we got to take it to this place. It's called John Howie Steaks. They're amazing, right? John Howie is a guy that they own a bunch of restaurants, and they're all like high-end restaurants,
Okay.
And we go there and we're eating we order, and first everything looks great. Tafine's sitting on the other side of me, and this fly is just buzzing around, and it lands in her wine or in her drink. She's like,
Oh no.
And she calls the waiter over, and he's like, oh my God, they get their new one. And then two more flies come and land right on her steak. She's like, oh,
stop.
Yeah. And then
so gross.
The manager comes over and he's like, well, what do you want to do? To me, and that right there just drives me nuts. What do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
No, man.
Mm-hmm.
She just had a fly land on her food. You expect her to eat it? You know what I mean?
That's like the worst question you can ask. Because like I said, I've been in hospitality a long time, and I've been a manager before as well. So you never ask the guest like what they want to do. You provide the solution, and and jump to like making it. I believe you can fix anything if you have the right attitude and turn it around, you know?
Oh no, this gets worse, right? So the guy's like, "Well, I'm going to make you a new steak." She's like, "Great." You know, she didn't say it like that. She said, "Okay, cool." Cause she's really laid back. She's like, "Okay, cool."
Yeah.
So they make this steak and a kid comes. He's like 17, 18 years old. He comes and puts the plate down in front of her, right? Walks away. Mm-hmm. We do bananas Fosters. So they come and do the whole thing, right? Cause they do it old style. Have a couple.
I love that. Yeah.
We're leaving. Okay. Here comes that kid walking through the restaurant, knuckle deep in his nose.
Oh,
he had just gross. Given her steak 15 minutes before.
Oh, that's disgusting. Yeah.
And we're like, she was like, "Oh my God, I'm going to throw up," you know? And she's I can't believe this happened, you know? And so we're leaving.
Oh, poor thing.
Yeah. And she called, she goes, she couldn't eat. She had half her steak eaten. And she was like, "I'm not eating the rest of this. Can't."
Yeah. I don't blame her.
And she goes, we're leaving the restaurant. She's like, "I just want to leave." And the manager is in a little cubby hole. And she goes, she wasn't going to say anything. And then she goes, "I have to say something. Look, you know, this happened." But the thing is, he didn't do anything to help her out. You know what I mean? And we had just paid literally a $700 bill because there was three of us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we're just like, come on, dude. But she was like, "Look, first the flies, that's one thing. You guys took care of it. That's great. But you need to talk to your buddy there." Mm-hmm. He's walking through your restaurant. And this is a 4-star restaurant. Wouldn't be surprised if they get a mention at some point. And you got a guy walking through the restaurant knuckle deep.
Yeah, we're not going to get one with that. I mean, right? Yeah, well, that's just against, you know, a health code. And this was in Seattle or in Washington, right?
This is in Bellevue. So and I don't know if you know Bellevue, the difference between Seattle and Bellevue. Seattle is very independent or very liberal. Mm-hmm. Bellevue is the exact opposite.
Okay.
Like Bill Gates, who's the guy that owns Amazon?
Mm. Bezos.
Jeez, man. Jeff Bezos. They all live in Medina, which is the tiny, tiny adjacent town to Bellevue, right?
Okay.
So it's like some of the richest people in the world live in Bellevue. And so you go there, everything's super clean. They don't deal with homelessness very well, right? You're gone.
Okay.
You know what I mean? They just you're being shipped out. You know what I mean? So it's just clean.
Yeah.
It's a nice city. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I'm a middle-class white guy. So of course it's great for me, you know?
Yeah, of course. It's all about perspective for sure.
Exactly. So, but you know, they have a ton of fine dining there, a ton. So it was just like, it was so weird to be in Bellevue at a fine dining place and see that. And it was just like, what the hell?
Well, places like that, you know, if that's kind of their MO, if that continues, like they won't make it, you know, no matter how expensive they are or whatever, because I mean, I don't know about Washington, but in California, we have really strict health codes. I mean, before you can even work in a restaurant, you have to have a card.
Yep. Same way.
Totally blanking on that. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. You have a certain card. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Food handlers. That's it. It's like blanking on it. Yeah. So there's like a whole process and you can't just, you know, have someone walking around picking their nose, like especially on the floor where everyone can see. Like
it was so, he was a teenager. So he probably wasn't thinking, you know what I mean?
But yeah.
I'm sure the manager wouldn't talk to him. I'd be shocked if he didn't. I'd be like, dude, I would contemplate getting rid of him. You know what I mean? I'd be like,
oh, for sure.
You got,
or putting him back in training, you know?
Yeah. 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 It's so weird.
Well, that's another problem too, is like with the wage being the way it is.
Yeah.
It's hard to attract a good caliber of employee because you're not paying people enough. So a lot of times when you go to these places and there's these young kids that, you know, lack, you know, professionalism or lack training. It's literally because like, that's all they could hire.
Yeah.
Well, at the wage they're paying.
You're getting people who need the job, not want the job.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then it's on the management staff to like, you know, if there's something wrong, it's their fault because you have to be able to be a leader and train people and kind of, you know, even young people, you know, everyone deserves a shot, of course, even if they're young, especially if they're young. But when you just hire someone and kind of give them a pamphlet to read and then put them on the floor, and then you can't really get mad at them for not knowing what to do.
So I looked it up. I said like $2 an hour in Arizona. That's what it was in 1990. It's now $7.15 to $14.75.
Oh my God, that's ridiculous.
$7 an hour.
That's ridiculous.
In 2020.
No, I know. I mean, even California, it's 11 50, I think now, it depends on the size of your establishment. But if you have like a small business, it's $11. If you're a big corporation, it's like $11.50, if I remember correctly. But that's like insane because the cost of living is so high here. I mean, everything from gas to food to utilities and rent.
Yeah, it's the same right here. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's like the amount we pay for gas is dumb. You know what I mean? When everybody else was paying like $1.99 last year or this summer or something, we were still paying like $3. You know, and it was just like,
dude, we were up to like $3.85 at one point.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just insane. Nuts. Yeah. The taxes are nuts. The go buy a house here, you know, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But they're calling Seattle the next San Francisco, which is scaring the hell out of me.
Yeah. That is scary because when the first time I went to Seattle was 11 years ago. One for my birthday. And it was, I don't feel like it's changed all that much, you know, as far as like scenery and like vibe and anything like that. But I do remember the prices being not as high 11 years ago as they are now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the whole thing is just, it's incredibly nuts. It's like, I feel like every time I get a raise, then my cost of living has already gone up more than what my raise has afforded me.
Oh, it's totally it. Yeah. It never really balances out. And then, when you talk about like, oh, well, maybe I should move to the Midwest or something, but it's like, well, the jobs don't really pay there either. So even though the rent is significantly less or the cost of the house is less, but now you're not really working a job that's paying you very much either. Right. So
unless I can keep my job and work remotely.
Yeah. Exactly. You know what I mean? Well, that's the goal. Yeah. Yeah. If I ever, become a bestseller and can make enough money off my books, then maybe I'll move out of California so I can actually enjoy the money.
Yeah. I'll be your pool boy.
Yeah. Right.
I'm like, nobody wants to see you in a Speedo though, dude.
Definitely not.
It's totally true, but it's
fun. Or anyone for that matter. Yeah.
I went to Brazil in 2003. Right. I remember going and all the guys were just tiny, tiny Speedos.
And it's insane to me.
Walking through the beach, I'm just like, for me, man.
I know it's funny. I have a lot of friends that are from Brazil and a couple of them have moved back there, in the last 20 years. But I do remember when they were all living here and we'd go, to like these meetups or on the beach or whatever. And a lot of them wearing Speedos. And I thought, that's... nothing that's left so European, like
at all.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and it just looked weird.
Why is it really weird, though, with guys wearing Speedos is weird, but then girls wear these crazy revealing two-piece bikinis?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's because it's just... because
women are just inherently better looking? Or is it just...
Well, that too. Yeah, I think. No. I don't know. I think it's more of a conditioning thing, you know what I mean? Because like I said, in Europe, it's completely normal for men to wear the Speedos, but I wouldn't think so either. But I think the same way about those people that ride bikes with the spandex.
Oh yeah. No,
they're like, oh, it's aerodynamic. It's this and that. But I'm like, but does it have to be bright neon blue?
Right. Right.
Like, can it just be black or gray or,
it's like tidy whiteys.
Like I get why they wear it, but
I can't do tidy whiteys.
Yeah.
Why would you wear tidy whiteys? I see.
People. Yeah.
Or even the people that do, like, I know a lot of guys that do like the half tidy, half jock. Even that for me.
Oh, right, right.
It's too, I'm like, oh no, I want to be comfortable. I feel weird talking about this, but it's the truth.
Yeah, I get it. I was like, I think comfort's like really important, and a lot of people just don't get it. Like they want to just, I don't know, what do they suffer
from? From minimum wage in Arizona to
Speedos on the Speedos and God.
In that comfort underwear is so fun.
If anyone ever listens to this, they're going to be like, what are they talking about?
How do they get
there? They literally need to get out more. No.
I don't know. I can tell you this.
This is what it's like, people. COVID 2020.
COVID life.
One
thing when I went down there, I never felt like I was never the last person picked. Mm-hmm. Football or basketball or whatever it was. I was never the first person picked either. You know what I mean? It's middle of the road. What I mean? Fine at PE, athletic enough. Always felt comfortable in my own skin. I have never felt more unathletic in my life than going down and hanging out on the beach in Brazil.
The
dudes are sitting there and they all look
like ripped.
They all look like Adonis and they're all playing volleyball, but they don't use their hands. The volleyball is all done with knees and their feet, and they're spiking the ball by doing like bicycle kicks over the net. And it's just like, and people are like blocking it with their knee and their head. And you're like, are you fucking kidding me? I can't. What?
Yeah, they're really big into volleyball. Yeah. No, they're very athletic. I mean, like I said, I had some Brazilian friends and they're all gorgeous. The guys and the girls, they were beautiful people. I thought, wow, this is a really gorgeous race of people, you know, and because they were, and they were so athletic and natural. Mm-hmm. Like the women I knew didn't wear a lot of makeup. They're all super tan and glowing, you know, and
Beck's wife, she was from Brazil. Same way.
Okay. Okay. Girl, yeah.
Yes. Didn't wear a lot of makeup, mm-hmm. just naturally cute. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pretty athletic. When we go and we do things, she's always good at everything. She's just emotionally unstable for me.
Oh, you can't have everything, right?
Right, exactly. I was like, we were married for 10 years, though. It wasn't like we didn't give it a go.
Oh,
well.
But
that's why.
Yeah, no, it's a long time. Yeah.
Visit family. And then, you know, we did our wedding down there. It was a lot of fun. Cool. But you're right.
Where in Brazil were you guys at?
We're in Recife. So, which I guess Americans would say Recife because it's with an R. But it's Recife with
They always say the H. Yeah, that took me a long time to figure out.
The Rio de Janeiro, you know? But Recife is, if you look at Brazil and it comes, you know how it's like the easternmost point on the ocean. So we went there and we got married in Recife in a small church that was built in 1605. It was pretty amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The neighborhood was not the best neighborhood. It was right next to a favela.
No.
And so we had armed guards at our wedding.
Yeah. Wow, that's scary. Kind of
yeah. I mean, it was fine, you know.
Yeah.
And it was fine.
Well, still.
It was just shocking.
I mean, there's even like
the bus and you're like, oh, I have armed guards with Uzis at my wedding. Literally.
Yeah, it's so weird. Yeah, that would throw me for a little bit of a loop there. Yeah.
Well, it threw all the my family for a loop.
The non-Brazilians, yeah.
Everybody else was like, whatever. But after a while, it was nothing, you know. And then it was cool because the wedding planner had a interpreter for me. So everywhere I went during the reception and the after stuff, she was interpreting everything that people were saying all around me.
That's really cool.
I was like, oh, fucking, this is awesome. I actually know what's going on.
Yeah. No, right. You're not just in the dark. Like everyone's like talking shit about you and you have no idea.
My brother married a Brazilian that I introduced him to, which is kind of cool. And they're still married. And they got two kids.
That is cool.
And they've been together.
Like that's awesome.
Years. Yeah. Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah. No, they're, I mean, I have so many great memories with my friends from Brazil. Like I said, a lot of them moved away. No, I haven't. They were trying to get me to go, but I was super young at the time and my mom didn't want me to do it. So I just never did. But yeah, at some point I would like to go over there and
dance to Honey.
Yeah, no, exactly. I was like, maybe not such a good idea, but. They love.
I don't know how it is now, but when I went down there, they loved Americans.
Yeah.
Man, it was, I if I wasn't getting married, I would have had a too good a time. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. They like to party too.
Yeah.
Okay. They're some of the best parties I went to in my late teens, early 20s were Brazilian parties. Cause they were just, and it was great because it wasn't just the young kids. I mean, the parents would be there, the grandparents, everyone would be eating and dancing samba. It was just, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, and it was very similar because I'm Sicilian. So like we have, that's kind of how our culture is too. We're very much like everyone's together, the family having fun. You know, it's not like a lot of American families, like the kids don't want to hang out with the parents, you know, when they're a certain age, because like, my parents aren't cool. But like when you're Sicilian or Brazilian or, you know, I know a lot of Mexican families are like this too, where, you know, everyone just hangs out. It's like a party with your mom, your dad, your grandma, your auntie, you know, everybody.
Yep.
So.
It's Dio and Tia and they're all there. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, Melissa, we've been on for a while.
Yes. I know we have. I was like, oh crap. Speaking of food too, I started to get hungry. We're talking about all the food. I'm like, I gotta make dinner.
Well, thanks for hanging out.
Yeah. Thanks for chatting.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Let's say, just in case we do release this, what date does After I Fall?
After I Fall comes out Tuesday. Next Tuesday.
The 27th.
27th.
Mm-hmm. October 2020. So if you're hearing this before, you got to wait or you can pre-order, right?
Yeah, the Kindle is up for pre-order. And actually, I'll tell you a little secret that I haven't really announced, but you can actually go on and buy my paperback right now.
There you go. Get on there. Get it. Mm-hmm. Buy it. Mm-hmm. And then if it's right after the 27th, it's available now on Amazon.com and Kindle.
That's right.
All right.
Cool.
See ya. Talk to you soon. All right.
Have a good night.
See you, Melissa.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thanks and bye.
And I'm back. We're back. You're back with me. And that was fun. That was great. I'm kind of sad I wasn't able to stick around and be a part of the whole 2 hours of conversation. But with the fact that our guest had canceled on us because he got sick, and I was like watching the opportunity to go, you know, play with my kids and do stuff. And I had a lot of fun doing that. But Kendrick and Melissa had a great time, and I hope you had a good time listening to them. But again, check out part one, part two. Go to our back catalog on Spliverse.com. Check out the first 16 thoughts we have. The tangent of tangents. This episode, it's just a freeform thoughts, man. We just talk and see where it goes. You love those. We love those. They're a lot of fun. And while you're there, check out all of our interviews. You know, we've got hundreds of interviews out there. And, you know, we're over 525 episodes now, which is insane. I feel like we just were getting to 500. Now we're already 25 past that. It's so nuts. And we're going to hit 600 probably by March, which is crazy to me. But you can check all those episodes out on Spliverse.com, as well as any podcatcher out there. You can just check them. You can just get all of them. So cool. Free for you. And have a lot of fun to that. And go to Spliverse.com. Check out all the other podcasts up there. Version of the Geekdom, Friendly But Forensics, Nerds from the Crypt, all the good stuff we have up there. Half-Past Adventure, it's beer day up right now, which is pretty cool. Articles and reviews and previews up there every day. Go check those out. It's pretty awesome. Go to scpod.us/Discord. Join our public Discord server. And, come talk to us, because we love it. And with that, I'm going to leave you with one last thing, and that is, In Ocean's a podcast, we are Cthulhu. And as Cthulhu compels you to do, open the mind and read more.